Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Morning, everyone. Thank you very much for coming to this session. At Tesco, we've got six times as many digital screens in our stores than we did this time last year. So we want to tell you why we're doing that and why we've got brilliant advertisers like Mondelez who are using those screens for great creative and effect. There's a certain irony that we're going to talk about digital screens, and the largest digital screen is behind a pillar for most of you. So if you can't see one, I think there are some screens about. Hopefully you can see a little bit of content. I'm Nick Ashley. I'm the Client Development Director at the Tesco Media and Insight Platform. I'm kindly joined by Hayley from Mondelez, who's the Category Director of Tesco, and from James Hay from Barrows, who do a lot of the technology and content that helps support our digital infrastructure within screens. I'll do a quick 10 minutes on introducing the Tesco Media and Insight Platform for those who might not know too much about it. And why we're investing in digital screens as a particular asset. And then we're going to have a conversation about developments in that particular area. Hopefully many of you are aware of the Tesco Media and Insight Platform. It is a retail media network, which at its heart uses club card data and Tesco assets to allow brands to communicate to their customers and their prospective customers. And by doing that, we think that brands can help shape what Britain buys. And I've got a short video to explain a bit more detail about what that means in practice.
Say hello to Tesco Media, giving you access to 22 million plus club card holders, 12 million regular club card app users, and around 75% of all British households. Connect with customers wherever they are through our rapidly growing and innovative channels, at home, on the move, or in store. Through our off-site partnerships, we have the power to reach your customers at home and on the go. Expand your reach through connected TV, reaching up to 10 million customers. On-site, on Tesco.com, your brand's front and centre. On the homepage, on branded and recipe pages, and on high-traffic banners as shoppers search your category. Across the Tesco network, Connected Store brings you innovative touchpoints and new dynamic channels like Scan as you shop, where you can engage with customers wherever they are in store. And all of our campaigns use club card data, so you can build your audiences with confidence with insights from real purchasing behaviours. Over 550 brands have already seen the sales increasing impact of Tesco Media through rapid innovation. Brands like PepsiCo.
The Walkers campaign was such a success because it was built on really, really strong insights. The insights allowed us to activate a full funnel marketing campaign, all the way from connected TV down to customized point of sale. And I think what was a real step change in the campaign was the collaborative nature that existed between the media, e-commerce and shopper teams. We worked as one team, allowing us to do that full funnel activation. And it's going to be a blueprint on how we continue to work in the future.
And Dannon.
Utilising club card data, Tesco Media identified key audience segments for us to target. And as part of the Elfralicious campaign, we reached 3 million people with personalised creatives around our brand relaunch campaign, which really shows the scale and reach that you can have. We saw 60,000 new to brand shoppers that came in, which is one of our highest ever campaign totals. And we also saw positive metrics across frequency, rate of sale, and customer spend. So I think for us, ongoing, we know that retail media is a good investment, and we want to continue working with the Tesco Media team on how we activate.
It's now simple to adapt at speed to changing shopper behaviours and target audiences at scale, with unparalleled insight into shopping behaviours from Tesco Media. Together, we can shape the future of retail advertising and shape what Britain buys.
So many of you may have heard of Andrew Lipsman, who's a preeminent retail media commentator in the States. And he thinks that stores are the next major media channel. So it's not just about shopper traffic in his mind. These are eyeballs and audiences that can be reached with high quality, contextually relevant and brand safe creative at the moment near the point of purchase. And actually, I think that the UK is probably ahead of the US when it comes to digitizing the in-store, thinking about the in-store environment as that major media channel. Why is that? Well, at Tesco, even though our online business has grown significantly, 85% of our purchases are still made in-store. So the store is a huge, huge transaction zone still for many customers. And customers like to be inspired in that environment. So up to 85% of customers are making choices whilst they're shopping. There's the opportunity for brands to be salient and to inspire in that area. And over 6 million customers are exposed every single week to different touch points that we have across the store platform. And increasingly, we're talking about it as a connected store. So we're looking to bring the principles of digital media into the in-store environment through technology, which we're going to hear about a little bit later, through personalization, which you're going to hear about through some of the formats that we have, and through also thinking about how we run consolidated campaigns across online and offline. So we've got 1.5 million customers who look at a website or Tesco app, don't shop on it, but then shop in store within 72 hours, and they're being prompted for consideration and inspiration, and then they're going in store to make their purchase. So the connected store consists of 5 key components for us. So there's still printed material, so that can be printed point of sale, it could be large-scale activations. So we're running a big activation for Heineken and PepsiCo, for example, around the Champions League at the moment. Radio. So in-store radio, we launched around the pandemic, actually mainly for a security and safety message. We now play music and run advertising within the radio environment. In-store digital signage, which I'll come on to in a minute, which has been a huge investment as a business and is seeing great growth. Scan as you shop. So these are devices. 1 in 8 of transactions take place with a scan as you shop device. You scan your club card when you first use it, and personalized messaging can be served to you at different places in and about the store. So really, really exciting way of bringing digital media into that environment. And we've had a long-standing partnership with JCDecaux, which has recently expanded to 500 stores at the entrance to stores. So a big, big connected system that you can communicate with them. From a digital perspective, we've had several sessions with the executive committee to talk about why we need to invest in this particular opportunity. One, it gives great opportunities for our brands and for our advertisers to communicate to their customers. Our store managers love it because it makes their stores look brilliant. And it drives sales. It drives sales for categories and it drives sales for brands. So we've got 4 main formats that we have. So gondola end formats, which tend to be focused around the category in question. So you, at the end of a cereal aisle, there's the opportunity, for example, for brands to communicate there. Quite high dwell time, so often used for inspiration. So it could be recipe inspiration, drinks inspiration in BWS. We have a goalpost format, which is brilliantly visible across the whole store. Much more like a digital out of home format that you'd see roadside. Power aisle, which is often used for supporting big promotions that we're running. And increasingly kiosk screens, so behind the kiosks in express formats, for example, screens there. So a big array of different formats that people can use. As a consequence, we think that's really changing the role that retail media can play on plans. So it's always been brilliant at the third P here. It's always been brilliant at driving purchase, and that's important. And it continues to be really important. But there are other P's that we think that retail media and in-store activity can drive. So it can help prime, it can drive awareness, it can drive consideration, it can bring people into categories that they're not used to buying, it can inspire people, it can prompt, it can remind, and it can trigger, and it can also protect and drive increasing loyalty. So do think about it as a more expansive channel than perhaps it might have been thought about in the past. And of course, with our club card data, we have the power to understand every pound that an advertiser spends. So we will always run test and control activity. So we can very clearly tell you whether there's been a sales uplift for that particular piece of activity on the stores that you've run digital screens or digital activity versus you haven't. We can provide return on ad spend as a consequence. So are you genuinely driving incremental sales? Which customers are you bringing in? Are you attracting new customers? Are you increasing frequency? Are you driving new people into the category, full stop? But also, are you having a brand impact? So we can also run brand lift studies to assess whether you're driving consideration or perception change within that particular environment. So if anyone's interested in that, please come to talk to us. And as I said, so the signage has grown by 6 times in the last year, which is a big, big investment. So we've now got over 3,000 touch points in our stores, plus the 500 JCDecaux screens, plus the Scanergy Shop devices. And that network is going to grow and grow and grow. So it's really huge in terms of the opportunity that it provides. And it generates impact. So across the 178 campaigns that this has assessed, for an average campaign that ran within the campaign period, 7% increase in that particular product sales, but also an increase on the brand portfolio. So that would be the particular SKU that's advertised, 4% across the brand as a whole. So if you think about the scale of Tesco, that's quite significant impacts that brands are providing, this media is providing, and that's just within a campaign period. So we also assess 12-week impact and longer-term impact as well, where you see longer-term behavioural change. So there are just some stats about the network and why we're growing before we get into the discussion with the guys. So Hayley and James, as I mentioned before, we're going to come to you in a second. I'm going to put up some lovely Mondelez creative that you can see all the amazing work that the guys have done, and we'll have that in the background while we're having a chat. So thank you both for coming along. I'll start with you, Hayley, first. What excites you about the digitisation of the store environment?
I guess a huge amount, to be honest. If we look at it from a kind of shopper perspective, shoppers are telling us mainly they're looking for personalisation and experience. So almost from an experience lens, I think where digital media is so phenomenal is it's so well integrated, so slick, so impactful. So you can probably see here we've got elements of motion within it, which probably sounds quite straightforward, but is an absolute game changer from a shopper perspective. So we've got a campaign going live in Tesco next week on a football campaign. And we've got famous footballers. It's basically a bit of a reel. So it takes the consumer on a real story. So these footballers are walking past the screen and suddenly almost act like they've just seen you and kind of do a double take. They walk up to the camera. They're like tapping on it, calling you over. It's completely mesmerising. So in terms of shopper experience and actually really capturing the attention, it's a completely different level to, I think, what we've been able to do previously. And then from a personalisation end, as you saw things like Scan As You Shop, it links to your club card data. So you're getting pushed notifications and communications about stuff you're actually interested in that's tailored to you, that feels really kind of bespoke and subsequently a lot more kind of interesting and cuts through much more. And this delivers in terms of return on investment much more sizably for us. So there's a big commercial upside as well.
I love the creativity point. Yeah. So I think there's a bit of a myth, isn't there, that retail media is a bit functional and dry. And I think you've shown that absolutely doesn't have to be the case. That's fantastic. James, what do you think? What's exciting you?
So I guess building on the shopper side of it, I think it's particularly attractive for kind of two big audiences in our world. You know, the brands and advertisers themselves and then the retailer. I think the brands and advertisers, I mean, to echo some of the comments you've already made about the scale, I think it's easy to underestimate the scale of the impact of the audience, but then also to think about the scale of your ability to influence in the environment. The 85% stat is consistently underpinned in the results that we're seeing with each of the campaigns. But I think, again, the ability to deploy really relevant and kind of quick responding content in the environment that's safe and secure is massively attractive and, again, allows us to be much more creative, impactful in the way we think about it. But just to finish on the retailer, I think it's so important to see the elevated response from shoppers around their experience in the environment. And that's translating really quickly into kind of sales productivity benefits of the overall store, the category clearly and brand, but at a bigger level, kind of loyalty ongoing. So I think it's a really exciting kind of combination across all of them.
Brilliant. So we saw that quote from Andrew Lipson earlier, and various contents are saying that the store is becoming the next mass media channel. Is what do you think the broader changes in the media landscape, are they having an impact on how people are perceiving the store and how they should think about how they're using it?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's naturally kind of a big focus on, you know, everything that's changing. There's naturally a tendency to focus more on that. I think in that context, focusing on the stuff that's remaining very consistent is quite valuable. So if you think about it, you know, brands and advertisers consistently value over time, you know, platforms and channels that allow them to really deliver mental availability, but balancing, you know, scale and efficiency at the same time. And I think what we're starting to see that Andrew's referencing there is clearly the scale, the reach, almost broadcast level reach with a really high frequency, but a kind of creative platform that allows you to be much more responsive. So I think it's absolutely can deliver against all of those components that he's referring to.
Yeah.
Hayley?
Yeah, I guess from a manufacturer lens, definitely would agree with that. I think from our perspective, as you can probably see from looking in the newspapers, it's a really challenging trading environment. So what that means for us is every penny has to count. And that's where retail media is so kind of tangible, so easy to track. We can see the uplifts. We can do tests and learns and kind of adapt our plans accordingly. So in terms of return on investment, which is really under the microscope right now, this has been a huge tool and is definitely kind of on line with the environment we're working in. Plus, so we're here from Mondelez, so we're a snacking company. So if you've heard of the HFSS legislation, which is high fat, salt, sugar, this will mean that from October next year, we can't advertise before 9 p.m. in terms of online or on TV. Now, our understanding, fingers crossed, is it won't impact retail media from what we are aware so far. If that does materialise, you can see why this will take a real lion's share of our spend, because this will be our number one way of talking to shoppers during the day, particularly when they're thinking about snacking products. So this could become even more massive for us.
Brilliant. So we've got some lovely examples on screen there. So can you give us a bit of an insight into some of the most effective activity that you've run with us and why?
Yeah, I think I might go Easter, actually. So I guess firstly, I'd say what's so exciting about retail media is I think every campaign we do seems to be better than the last. So probably if you asked me this in 3 months, I'd have an even different example. But probably front of mind is our Easter activation. And going back to that kind of shopper funnel that you were talking through, I think why I loved this activation so much is it almost touched every touch point for a shopper, that continuous path to purchase. So if we start, you've got some kind of examples on the screen. If you kind of start at the pre-store, we did a food content partnership, which is the first time we've done this with a major retailer, where we did recipes for things like cream egg and mini eggs in kind of rocky roads and cupcakes, which is obviously delicious because a lot of people are doing baking over the Easter period. So we put the recipes up on Tesco.com. You can see it got 3 times more click-throughs than any food content partnership they'd done before. It looked really delicious, and so shoppers engaged with it. And then we pumped out that content on social media, where we saw 5 million views of some of our reels. You can see some pictures here, like it does really hypnotize you, which is super impactful. And then we wanted to keep delivering that experience at more touch points. So we did a bit of a road show. So that kind of image you can see where it looks like a car park. We basically put like gazebos outside of Tesco stores where you can actually come and get the products, interact with them and make some of the things that we'd see are shown online. So for shoppers, if you're there with your family, you can make a kind of cream egg or rocky road and eat it there, which is obviously like super shareable and super fun for our shoppers. And then from in-store, there was numerous touch points. I guess you can see we were calling it out on shelf through retail media. We were integrating some of the digital screens. We had a text to win competition where you could win family days out, which you can see in some of the visuals as well. And then we also overtook the power aisle 2 in Tesco's, talking about our text to win and obviously showing our Easter products. So kind of at all touch points, it came together. And it was one almost overarching message in terms of family experiences, but delivered in numerous different ways. So obviously the kind of impact and the results were phenomenal. But moreover, I just think it was a really seamless, well-integrated campaign, which really cut through.
I think I'm right in saying the best ever Easter at Tesco.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Very good. If you haven't tried the orange mini eggs, then absolutely go for them. They are amazing. I used to have to get there before my daughter did. She was always the first to try and get it. James, what about other categories? Have we seen success with other categories?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, as you'll probably see on the visual here, so I think just two that we wanted to kind of share that kind of build a little bit on what Hayley's already covered. So I think firstly, the top one, the BrewDog innovation. I think this is a real power example of where a challenger brand is taking on a larger foe in that context potentially. And I think what's been amazing has been the impact that this campaign delivered on the goalposts was able to kind of deliver. So taking control store like-for-like comparisons, the stores where this was activated was trending over 50% higher than the control store equivalent, with everything else remaining the same. But I think what's mind-blowing about it really, though, is not the campaign period, it's the halo period afterwards. So you're seeing that trend of kind of sales productivity benefit trending for about 3-4 months post-campaign in the same control store. So I think for us, what's really powerful here is that this is a really powerful way to kind of bring new ideas, new thinking into the shopper's consciousness and make that last a little bit longer than the kind of traditional execution moment. But I think also, you know, taking the power of Clubcard and thinking about how that underpins it, you know, being more focused then on a kind of very category specific example with Princess Tuna, I think this was all about, you know, bringing to life at that kind of Gonda end, how you can really interrupt the shopper in a positive way. So how can this feel like a kind of a useful expression? This is all about, you know, connecting provenance of source with the actual occasion. And again, I think delivering it in a really kind of quick, timely fashion was massively successful in delivering, you know, growth and conversion. But again, I think what's so powerful is you're seeing all of this underpinned by the Clubcard data that then allows you to get better and better over time.
Great. Do you think that all of this media is predominantly about driving incremental sales and that's it? Or does it play a role in driving brand?
Right. So I think the question, I think, is often a bit of a kind of binary, you know, interpretation. And I think ultimately what we're seeing with connected, you know, display network in Tesco is that actually the kind of the range of touch points is delivered and designed in a way that it can help brands deliver against all of their objectives. So clearly the goalposts, power aisles you've referenced already, they're naturally going to be more broadcast level, kind of higher funnel level brand growth or kind of bringing, driving awareness. But the closer you get to conversion, perhaps in more category specific touch points like the gondola ends, clearly the focus there is going to be more, you know, lower level funnel. So I don't think it's one or the other. I think we live in a world of both isms, and I think it's possible. It's just then about how you make sure you deploy to best deliver against your specific objectives in that context.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. We've done campaigns against both. It's certainly not binary. And I think, you know, the process we would go on is in the planning stages, really working with Tesco Media and Insights as to like what we're trying to drive here, what's the KPIs, what's the shopper behavior, what's the right touch points and media to be using as a result. And, you know, the way that an MPD where you're trying to drive trial shows up is very different to something that's all about brand love and equity, like the example of Easter. So it can take different forms, it can have different purposes. It's all about, you know, a strong planning process, let's say.
Yeah, right. I want to talk a bit about the creative opportunity and maximizing it. So Barrow's do a lot of the content and work in conjunction with the brands to do this for contact. So I guess what tips do you both have for maximizing the creative opportunity in store? I mean, is it as simple as you take above the line assets and you repurpose them, or do you create something bespoke for the environment? What should you be thinking of?
So I think the big thing here is about kind of creating a red thread between all your assets. So it's about ultimately how can you make sure that you're laddering up and amplifying, you know, core brand assets that are being developed and delivered above the line. So I think for us, that's the thread. We start with existing assets, but then we really spend proper time to understand context of objectives, how you then tailor those assets to be the most impactful, relevant in the context that they're then deployed. I think it's important to say that most brands, obviously Mondelez are not included in this, but most brands feel they have the assets ready. And again, I think we're often shocked and quite horrified by the assets that are defined as ready. And the number that I've seen have got, you know, click here or, you know, incorrect logos or patch, you know, the kind of the range of things is big. And I think it's fair to say we have to be really empathetic to the brands to help support them, you know, delivering this incremental, you know, inventory, but doing it in a way that's absolutely laddering up to and amplifying their distinctive brand assets.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a business, almost if you think of it from like a brand marketing end, Mondelez probably do reuse assets for very good reason, which is we need to keep saying similar things to a shopper for it to really resonate and to really become synonymous. So if I think of some of our big campaigns, like the cream egg, how do we eat? You eat yours. We did that for years. Then we went really bold and did how do you not eat yours? So again, like very similar messages. You've got to keep doing that to really kind of drill it in. So I guess from a kind of traditional marketing perspective, we do quite a similar communication in order for it to really land. Almost from a trade marketing perspective, we do the opposite, where it has to feel really bespoke, it has to feel really different, because that's the hook for the retailer. Say if we presented a national campaign we were doing to Tesco, they would always say, like, what's in this for me? How is this going to show up distinctively within my stores? So completely agree with you on the red thread that we always try to say this is almost like the macro look and feel message, but how can we deliver it in a really unique way, such as we do, you know, take over the car parks, like in the Easter example, or we had a football example where we do these football campaigns every year. We did a summer of football in Tesco where we had the digital screens and we had some famous footballers actually come into a few stores to meet with shoppers and take autographs and things. So it's delivering it in a way that feels bespoke but still consistent.
Right. So looking forward, What developments would you like to see next? And are you seeing anything interesting in other markets that you think the UK could learn from? Both of you. Who wants to go first?
Go first.
Hayley.
This, I think, is coming back to your point about the creativity. Yeah. This is where I get so excited, because not only can I see new developments coming, but I also don't think they're far off at all. So we already know, like with Scan Issue Shop, we're looking at how we can do more geo-targeting. So you're actually pushing notifications to the shopper when they're approaching the relevant aisle. I think that will just be a game changer when you think of how tailored you can be and the conversion that will come off the back of it. I think the digital screen, I can see a world where we can be much more agile with that in terms of reacting to real world events. So if you've got, you know, a particularly cold summer, how can we do more kind of cozy night in messages? We've got heat wave, how can we flip that on its head of summer barbecues and get togethers? Likewise, those football campaigns I mentioned, if we've already got famous footballers up on the screen and then say we win the Euros or something, how do we flip that around so it feels really like in the world, in the moment? I think that will be super exciting. And then there's even more cutting edge kind of technology coming, the integration of AI that we're seeing in other markets. So some examples were shared at the Tesco IGD for anyone that was there, of almost like having virtual shop assistants in store that know your preferences, that can ask you questions about what kind of things you like or don't like and give really tailored recommendations. And if that can link with club card data, they already know a lot of that. So they know the kind of things you're into. And you know, coming back to my point about personalization, we can actually really deliver sort of tailored suggestions, delivering you more of a message in store in a way we haven't been able to do before. For anyone that remembers it, if you've seen Minority Report, it might be showing my age. It walks into a Gap store and the kind of AI says, great to see you. How did you get on with those three tops the other day? And like, I can see a world where that's not that far off, which is really exciting.
Yeah. James?
So I won't echo the same sentiments around creativity and opportunity. I think it's massive. More on the structural side, I think really important stuff is making sure we have, you know, standards and methodologies really consistent so this is accessible to all and everyone can evaluate in the same way. IAB are doing great progress, but I think this needs to move really quickly. I think then it's helping the kind of the marketing brand community to think of this as a kind of an established part of the marketing mix. I think at the moment it feels occasionally can feel like a little bit of an afterthought or an add-on right at the end. And I think making it feel very integrated and baked in from kind of big ideas at the start would be brilliant. I think supporting the trade marketing community and this moving a little bit out of just thinking of the trade marketing team, I think this is critical. Reference to the PepsiCo team, I think it's a big change to deliver, but I think it's super important. And I have to talk about personalization. Yeah, I think we're super excited about all the opportunities that have already been kind of referenced. This is going to be a huge opportunity to improve and maximize the capabilities and the creative deployment of it.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of minutes. So last question is, so we may have people in the room who may not have used this opportunity before, or maybe from an agency or something, is what advice would you give if you were putting your toe in the water for the first time as to how to go about it?
Shall I go? I think probably, you know, testing small and moving quickly to establish what you want to do. I think that's what's been really powerful, is that this doesn't just have to be massive and massive campaigns. We've seen some big ones here, but I think you can start small and build really quickly from there. But I think it's about helping, really trusting the Tesco team and all the data they can provide. So that would be get into it, get move quickly and see what's possible.
Yeah,
I'd say very similar. I think if you're kind of sat in the room thinking, this sounds exciting, but I don't know anything about this, retail media isn't new as a concept. You will be doing this already within your businesses or within, you know, the industries you play in. This is more of an evolution. So it's more like a bit of a new muscle we've got to learn to flex. And that's going to be a journey. So yeah, definitely agree with the dipping your toe in and taking the shared experience. So like Tesco retail media has been fundamental to us in terms of understanding what we should do, what we shouldn't, getting that advice and kind of really partnering on the process we've been on. And so, as I said, it's getting better and better in terms of the executions we're doing, and that's down to our kind of agencies and our retail partners. And have fun with it would be my only other advice. Like, I think it's genuinely so exciting, and I think the scope for creativity is much broader than probably people recognise. And the stuff we're now doing is so exciting. So in terms of what this will look like in a year, 2 years from now, like, you guys in the room could be the ones to define that. And I don't think there's many kind of forms of media that you can say that about. So yeah, dip your toe in and have fun.
Brilliant. So huge thank you to both of you. I think Hayley, for your pioneering approach to using our different opportunities, and to your team, who I know are here as well, and to James for everything that you've done in terms of helping us get all the screens in store and all the content that you produce. So big, big thank you, and a big round of applause for this part too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.